I had a guy ask me this morning, or yesterday morning, and he was serious. He was really concerned because somebody asked him about the book of Job. And there's a lot of people that are just freaked out about this book. And I can't seem to get it through their head that this is a really simple book. And nobody should be running around saying they're a Job unless they're praising, because their affliction is only going to last 7, 8, 9 months. And then they're going to be restored to even more than what they had. But there are a lot of people like to camp in that Job position. And preachers take things that are out of that verse, out of that book, and use it on Christians, and it's just horrible. They need to stop that. But they need to understand that there's some things that change, and there's a bad idea that people have. So there's a lot of people have this idea that the devil can still go to the throne room of God. And he can't. He's been kicked out of there. But let's look at Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The sons of God were angels. They were angels. And for some reason that makes people mad when you say that. But they were angels. They came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Did you see that? The devil was talking about this hedge of protection that Job had around him, talking about how blessed he was. Then he said, But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he has is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, God had to remind Satan that Job had tore down his hedge of protection. And Job actually told us how he did it. He said, That thing that I feared has come upon me. Job told us why that happened. It wasn't just because God was testing him. It wasn't because God was punishing him. It was because he himself tore his hedge of protection down, and the devil got in. But God had to remind, he had to point it out to the devil. Evidently, Job had done things pretty good. He had a covenant with God. And he had done things pretty good up to that point, because evidently the devil had given up on Job. He just went, walked around somewhere else, left Job alone. But why could Satan come in the throne room of God? That's the question we need to be asking. Why could Satan be there? Because in the garden, Adam had his position with God. Adam could go into the presence of God. Adam could talk to God. Adam had the blessing. Adam had the authority. And then he ate of that fruit and handed it over to Satan. But it wasn't just the blessing. He handed everything over. He handed his position over. That's why Satan could go to the throne room of God. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 33. It wasn't because any other reason than basically Adam gave him the keys. Romans chapter 8, verse 33 says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies." Satan cannot come before God to accuse you. See, there are some people that are absolutely convinced that Satan can go to the throne room of God and accuse you of wrongdoing. So right there, that he can't. Let's look at, while we're there, let's look at Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." So that's what we're after. We're after righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. But as long as people think that Satan has this ability to go to the throne room of God and accuse them of wrongdoing, they're going to have this opportunity to fall into condemnation. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus." So if you're feeling condemned, know this, that it's not from God. It's coming from Satan. Satan brings condemnation. You know, I've heard a lot of preachers say, you know, they made a mistake and then they said that just the Holy Spirit just got all over and made them feel so bad. No. He didn't. The Bible tells us what the Holy Spirit's main mission is to convince us of righteousness. He's here to convict the world of sin and judgment, but of us, he spends his time trying to convince us that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Evidently, it takes a little bit of convincing. You know, that might be one of the verses, you know, that we need to meditate on every once in a while. That we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, first time I said that, I thought, man, you are way offline. Well, we have to understand, we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. And, you know, the Bible tells us that it's with our mouth that confession is made unto salvation, and with our heart we believe unto righteousness. How do we do that? Our heart, we believe unto righteousness. We believe that what Jesus did on the cross was good enough to put us in the right standing with God. That's how we believe unto righteousness. We believe that his work on the cross was good enough to put us in the right standing with God. Everything that was wrong between us and God got washed away by the blood of Jesus. Now we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We believe what God said. Remember, the Bible tells us that Abraham believed God and God accounted it to him for righteousness. One time a guy told me, he said, "You should be able to get somebody born again out of the Old Testament." I thought, why would you do that? You know, there was people that really did believe in Jesus before he was even born. There was people that believed in his salvation even before he was born. The old prophet that was at the temple all the time praying, and the woman that was in there, the widow, she had for, I don't know, 50 years or more, fasted and prayed continuously. When Joseph and Mary brought Jesus into the temple for the custom, they both went over and prophesied over him and said, "Now mine eyes has seen my salvation." I don't know. Maybe you can't get somebody born again out of the Old Testament, but Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 is a whole lot easier. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. We'll see this whole thing kind of unfold. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yeah, has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree of which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Here's the danger of adding to God's word. God said, "Do not eat of this tree." And here she's saying, "We can't even touch that thing." That is not what God said. God said to tend to that garden. They were supposed to tend to that tree. They were just not supposed to eat of it. This is the dangers of adding to God's word. And people do it all the time. People are always adding something to God's word, and it makes it impossible for people to get a hold of it. You know, one of the most famous ones out there, preachers say this too. They say, "Forgive and forget." Now, where in the Bible does it say that? It doesn't say that anywhere. It does say forgive, but it doesn't say anything about forgetting. In fact, I'll tell you, one of the problems with that is people that fail to remember history are destined to repeat it. This whole country is going through this right now. We're going through this because we forgot. This is the third time that we're getting rid of the Federal Reserve and the central bank. The third time. When Trump, the prophet prophesied about having two presidents. You know, when Biden was president, Trump was commander in chief. That was the second time that happened. It happened during Andrew Jackson's time. And he kicked the Federal Reserve out, got rid of the central bank. And here we are because we forgot. I just can't even impress upon you how important it is to read the Constitution every once in a while. Look at that thing. We're so far away from that till our country's not recognizable. But we rock around saying we're free. No, you're not. You are not. We live in a socialist country for all intents and purposes. Trump is bringing us out of that. How could I say we live in a socialist country? I said, well, somebody takes 30, 40, 50% of my wages, throws it in a basket, and then they go find somebody that's sitting on their butt, not doing anything, and give them some, and give their buddies some. That's socialism. That's exactly what we've been doing for a very long time. And it's time to wake up. But they're always saying to forgive and forget. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Forgive, yes, but don't forget. Don't forget what people have done to you. Now, you don't sit there and stew in resentment. You can forgive them. But you're certainly not going to go stick your hand in the mousetrap again. See, don't add to God's word. They do it all the time. In salvation. Say you're saved by grace. They get people to say the sinner's prayer. That you're saved by grace. And then they show up in church. You're saved by grace. And now here's these five things that you got to do in order to be saved. No! Don't add to God's word. See, that's what happened to Eve. And she got in big trouble. Verse 4 said, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Whoa. Well, see, that was a lie there. He's the father of all lies, isn't he? Now, they didn't die physically right away, but they certainly died spiritually right away. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. A tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. See, Satan's not going to just come up there with some hideous thing to get you to sin. He's going to have something that you desire. You know, like she's seen that this fruit was desirable. See, people fall for shiny things all the time. There's a lot of things that people want, and they get to reaching for them. They may be good things, but sometimes they'll step away from the path that God has them on in order to get those shiny things. And it leads to disaster. God wants you to have nice things. But he wants you to have nice things the biblical way. So anyway, verse 7 says, the eyes... of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. How about that? For the longest time, I thought righteousness had something to do with your clothes. That's not an original thought. They tried to cover their sin, so they made their own clothes. When we get born again, we get new clothes. We get what we call a robe of righteousness. That's something that Jesus puts on us. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, said unto him, where art thou? See, Adam and Eve knew they made a mistake, and they tried to cover it. And they heard God coming, and they felt that condemnation. So they hid from God. That's something that happens all the time. It happens all the time today. People make a mistake, they feel that condemnation, and they disappear from church. They don't want anybody to know what happened. Like they're going to hide from God. And here's a big question. Why would God call out to Adam and say, "Where art thou, Adam?" As if God didn't already know where he was. He knew exactly what bush he was hiding under. Why would God say that? Why would he say, "Where art thou, Adam?" He's trying to get Adam to locate himself. See, everybody needs to get themselves located every once in a while. We need to ask ourselves some peculiar questions so we can locate ourselves, see where we truly are in this whole scheme of things. See, Adam was hiding from God. He had that condemnation going full blast. Down in verse 10, he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." See, condemnation will breed fear. Fear will bring stress. Remember, a long time ago, they started coming out with medicine, and they told, people that were having hypertension and having heart problems and having, all kinds of different problems. They said, "You need to stay away from stress." And they'd give them medicine to help them with the stress. And so stress is just a leaf of the true root. And then some of them actually started coming up with the idea that fear was causing the problem with these people. So they started giving them drugs to help them not be afraid. I know there was a couple guys worked in the oil field up home. They were roustabout, they were pumpers and stuff. And anyway, one of them come in and said, "Where's your buddy?" And said, he had to go to the doctor. I said, "Why?" Well, that's at one point they were giving this guy some kind of medicine that would just make these people go crazy. Literally make them, he was chasing him around with the backhoe. And they got him off of that and got him on something else. but they were trying to address fear. Well, that's still just a leaf. It's a branch. The root cause is condemnation. See, Adam was afraid because he felt that condemnation. Anyway, God asked that in verse 11. He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, it's classic. This is almost everybody that's ever had a problem. "The woman that you gave me, she gave me of the tree to eat." He threw his wife under the bus right off the bat. Well, people do that. It doesn't have to be their wife. They'll blame somebody else. Something will happen. They say, "Well, it's my job." "Well, it's the economy. It's this. It's that. It's everything." But here's the most important thing anybody can do is just take ownership for what you did. Take ownership for what you did. One of the biggest challenges I have as a boss and having people work for me, they'll make a mistake and I'll point it out and they'll blame somebody else or they'll blame something else. And it always takes me 10 minutes to get them stopped say, just stop. We can't fix anything blaming anybody else. We got to just fix it. It's a mistake. Fix it. That's what God tries to get us to do. Stop blaming our problems on somebody else so he can fix it. He can get to the solution right away. He's fast. He's fast. He can get to the solution right away. Then the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent. The serpent, he beguiled me, and I did eat. See? She blamed her mistake on somebody else. I wonder what could have happened if they would have just went up there and said, we made a mistake. Can you fix it? I don't know. Jesus fixed it. It took several thousand years, but he got Jesus here and he fixed it. But that's how Satan got a hold of that blessing that Adam had. And that's how Satan got access to the throne room of God. See, he had been kicked out. He had been kicked out. He had caused a rebellion in heaven, and him and 200 angels got kicked out. They were banished from that place until Adam ate of that fruit, and he's right back in there. Look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 6. Well, verse 5. The devil taking him up into a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms. Showed in them all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whosoever I will, I give it. All of that was delivered unto him. When Adam ate of that fruit. Now, this will also give you some insight on how some of the most evil people on the face of this earth are some of the richest people on the face of this earth. See, Satan could hand it over to them. I've studied this quite a bit, and I've wondered how they ended up with their money, and this is how they got it. They would sell their soul to the devil for money. There are literally people that do that. There was, actually, you could get on the Illuminati website if you wanted to, and go in there and sign up. You're giving your soul away when you do this, but then these people would walk away with $10, $20, $30 million. But Satan is like a parasite, and he's going to bleed all of the life out of these people. They don't know it. I was reading an account one time of this guy that went to jail. And somebody asked him, said, what happened? He said, you know, I made a deal with the devil. And she said, why would you do that? Well, he was unpopular. But when he made this deal, all of a sudden he said, I had all of this money. I had all of these drugs. And I had all of these women. He sold his soul for something shiny. Remember the apple or whatever that fruit was that Adam, that Eve thought it looked good? Sold his soul for something shiny, and now he's spending the rest of his life in jail. There's a lot of people who've done that. A lot of people. They live amongst us. You've met some of them people. You just don't know it. You may have an idea, but you've met some of these people. Each one of you has met somebody that has sold their soul to the devil. And they may be really nice, charismatic people. But they figured that whatever it was that they were chasing was worth their soul. So they signed it over. Some of them with the blood covenant. We need to make sure we don't get caught chasing that shiny thing so much to the point that it costs us our own soul. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible says be content with the things that you have. It's okay. It's okay to have some drive and try to earn more, try to get more, but don't get lost on the trail to get more. There's preachers that have gotten lost in that trail, all the way up to politicians. We got Washington, D.C. is full of people that have sold their soul. You know, the biggest thing about that whole deal is the church forgot. The church didn't remember the lesson that they went to when Andrew Jackson was president. Those people at that time had forgotten what they went through before that. We need to pay attention to what's going on in our world. We need to pay attention. Even on the local level, we need to pay attention to what's going on with our politicians here. You know, because things are never the way they seem to be. They'll paint a picture one way, and everybody will see this shiny thing, but they don't ever see the end result. You know, like this community center. We got a great big grant to build that community center. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? The end result is you get an infrastructure built that has to be maintained, which means you have to raise taxes. Raise taxes on a population that is already taxed out of their mind. See, people need to see the whole thing from the beginning to the end, go all the way through. There's always a consequence for every good-sounding thing. The church is no exception. We need to pay attention to what's going on in our world. You know, for the longest time, churches, there's people get mad if you talk anything politics about in a church. You know, there used to be a thing called the Black Robe Society. And these preachers would inform people about what's going on in the political world. And they had so much influence in the political world that they outlawed them. They passed a special law. They said you weren't allowed to talk politics from behind the pulpit. You weren't allowed to put any signs up in your yard. See how the devil worms his way into every inch of our society? The church is standing up. People are waking up, and people are starting to see the truth, and they're starting to move forward. We just got to keep that forward momentum going and not forget what's going on. And especially, we need to especially tell our friends to get out and vote in the midterms. You know, it's not over just because Trump got elected. We're not done. We got to finish it up in the midterm. You know, some people are mad because they didn't go arrest all these people. So what good was that going to do? You don't have the judiciary cleaned up. You got to clean the whole thing up. The whole thing has to be cleaned up. And the churches are going to get cleaned up too. Every single denomination, even the non-denominational, are going to get sifted. So get ready. It's coming. The whole earth is going to get sifted. It needs to be. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for guiding us and for the Holy Spirit who's teaching us. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us and everything that he continues to do for us as our high priest, making intercession for us, causing us to be in the right place at the right time. In Jesus' name, amen.